Oh, my dear King. Patihi. Maintainer. Guruhu. Spiritual master. Alam. Certainly. Bhavatam. Of you. Yadunam. The Yadu dynasty. Daivam. The worshipable deity. Priyaha. Very dear friend. Kulapatihi. The master of the dynasty. Kvacha. Sometimes even. King Karaha. Servant. Baha. Of you, the Pandavas. Astu. To be sure. Evam. Thus. Anga. O King. Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhajatam. Of those devotees engaged in service. Vakundaha. The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Muktim. Liberation. Dadati. Delivers. Karichit. At any time. Sma. Indeed. Na. Not. Bhakti Yogam. Loving devotional service. So, translation. As Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear King, the Supreme Personality, person, Mukunda, is actually the maintainer of all the members of the Pandava and Yadu dynasties. He is your spiritual master, worshipable deity, friend, and the director of your activities. To say nothing of this, he sometimes serves your family as a messenger or servant. This means that he worked just like an ordinary servants do. Those engaged in getting the Lord's favor attain liberation from the Lord very easily, but he does not very easily give the opportunity to render direct service unto him. You can repeat. Shukadeva Goswami continued. My dear King, the Supreme Person, Mukunda, is actually the maintainer of all the members of the Pandava and Yadu's dynasties. He is your spiritual master, worshipable deity, friend and the director of your activities. To say nothing of this, he sometimes serves your family as a messenger or servant. This means he worked just like ordinary servants do. Those engaged in getting the Lord's favor attain liberation from the Lord very easily. But he does not very easily give the opportunity to render direct service unto him. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. While instructing Maharaja Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami thought it wise to encourage the king because the king might be thinking of the glorious position of various royal dynasties. Especially glorious is the dynasty of Priyavrata, in which the Supreme Lord Rishabhadeva incarnated. Similarly, the family of Uttanapada Maharaj, the father of Maharaj Dhruva, is also glorious due to King Prithu's taking birth in it. The dynasty of Maharaj Raghu was glorified because Lord Ramachandra appeared in that family. As far as the Yadu and Kuru dynasties are concerned, they existed simultaneously. But of the two, the Yadu dynasty was more glorious due to the appearance of Lord Krishna. Maharaj Parikshit might have been thinking that the Kuru dynasty was not as fortunate as the others because the Supreme Lord did not appear in that family. Neither is Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, Lord Vrishabhadev, or Maharaj Prithu. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj was encouraged by Shukadev Goswami in this particular verse. The Kuru dynasty may be considered more glorious due to the presence of devotees like the five Pandavas who rendered unalloyed devotional service. Although Lord Krishna did not appear in the Kuru dynasty, he was so obligated to the Pandavas' devotional service that he acted as a maintainer of the family and spiritual master of the Pandavas. Although he took birth in the Yadu dynasty, Lord Krishna was more affectionate to the Pandavas. By his actions, Lord Krishna proved that he was more inclined to the Kuru dynasty than the Yadu dynasty. Indeed, Lord Krishna, indebted to the Pandavas' devotional service, sometimes acted as their messenger, and he guided them through many dangerous situations. Therefore, Maharaja Parikshit should not have been saddened because Lord Krishna did not appear in his family. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always inclined toward his pure devotees, and by his action, it is clear that liberation is not very important for the devotees. Lord Krishna easily gives one liberation, but he does not so easily give one the facility to become a devotee. Muktim didati karichit smana bhakti yogam. Directly or indirectly, it is proved that bhakti yoga is the basis for the supreme relationship with the Supreme Lord. It is far superior to liberation for a pure devotee of the Lord. Mukti is automatically attained. So, Rajan Patir Guru Halam Bhavatam Yadunam Daivam Priyakula Patis Vachakinkaro Vaha Astveva Manga Bhagavan Bhajatam Bakundo Muktim Dadati Karichitsmana Bhakti Yogam. Om Aganat Mirandasha Ganjana Shilakaya Chakshun and Meditam Yenetas Mai Shigurave Namaha. So, this whole discussion of this verse and purport remind me very much of the first part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in which Shripad Narada Muni is looking for the best devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's really interesting that the best devotee, or the highest devotee, it's not that someone is worse, let's just make that clear. If you have the best of the devotees, it's not that the other devotees are the worst of the devotees, or worser than them. It's not a material distinction. Anyway, so that it depends upon the intimacy of the relationship, whether someone is considered better or at a higher platform than another devotee. And so, just related to this particular story here about the Pandava dynasty, or the what's called the Kuru dynasty, even though in the Battle of Kurukshetra you have the Kurus versus the Pandavas, originally it was called the Kuru dynasty. You understand? They're all part of the Kuru dynasty, just to let you know. So, let's tell a little story from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Once upon a time, and we're not going to tell the whole story, but just part of it that's applicable, Narada Muni, he was looking for the best devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as he was looking for the best devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he went to a holy place in India. It was Varanasi or something. And people were worshiping the Supreme Lord, and there was one great Brahmin, very rich Brahmin, and he was maintaining all the other Brahmanas and doing his own deity worship and feeding everybody. And Narada Muni said, "You're the best devotee of the Lord." And basically, this person said, "No, I'm not the best devotee. There's a devotee who's much better than me. He's a king in the south, and he's able to perform all these opulent sacrifices all the time and maintain so many Brahmins." So Narada Muni went to the king in the south. I'm going very quickly through the story. And he glorified the king in the south as being a very intimate, good devotee of the Lord. And the king said, "No, how can I be a good devotee? Because basically, I'm subjected to very short life, disease, and so many problems in this world. And if you really want to see good devotees, you've got to go to the heavenly planets. And perhaps the one who is, let's say, most dear to the Lord, the heavenly planets, is Lord Indra." So he went to Lord Indra. And he said to Lord Indra, you're a great devotee of the Lord, you have the Lord's mercy. And then Lord Indra, of course, objected to that, saying that you may think I'm such a great devotee, but I opposed the Lord when he was trying to take the Parijata flowers from the heavenly planets. And also, I tried to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. Not a very good qualification for a devotee of the Lord, to kill the other devotees. And, you know, you want to meet some good, really good devotees, then you go to see Lord Brahma. So then he goes to see Lord Brahma, and he glorifies Lord Brahma as really having Krishna's mercy, being the best devotee. And Lord Brahma basically puts his hands in all of his ears. You know, he has four heads. That means eight ears. So somehow or other, he has more hands, so he can put his fingers in his ears so he doesn't hear this glorification. And he says to Narada Muni, that, didn't I teach you about this when you were a little kid? Because he's the father of Narada Muni. You know, when I brought you up in Krishna consciousness, sent you to Gurukula. And, you know, I'm not such a great devotee. Lord, if you really want, because I am attached and I'm always engaged in this universal administration and everything like that. And yeah, the Lord of the universe may be worshipped by me, but, you know, really, I'm too much involved. And, you know, I'm one of Krishna's GVC people, so too much involved in management. So if you really want to see a good devotee, you've got to see someone who's really detached from this world. And, you know, perhaps the most detached person is your brother, Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva is so detached, he doesn't even take the trouble to put on clothes. You can actually see how detached someone is. Not by, if someone is naked, they're more detached necessarily in this world. But people spend a lot of time decorating the body, you know, shopping for different clothes. Will this sari match my earrings or whatever? Or will this dhoti? Like sometimes you even see like dapper gentlemen, isn't it? Like with all the, there's a nice border on the dhoti, you know, just very like, anyway, silk dhoti and everything like that. So Lord Shiva is definitely not looking for silk dhotis. He's completely naked, completely worshiping Krishna, absorbed in Krishna Katha, and he's married to a topmost devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is Durga, who is known as Vaishnavi. So you go to see him. So Narada Muni very happily went to see Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was like in ecstasy, you know, just dancing. He and Narada Muni were dancing. You see this all the time when the devotees are in ecstasy, they dance with each other. Not the cha-cha or the hora or something like that. That's a Jewish dance. But they, anyway, or not some Latin dance. So they're dancing. But when he started glorifying Lord Shiva got very upset with this whole thing. And he said, look, how much love do I have for the Lord? Because I've also opposed the Lord at particular times. He gave the example of like the Banasura story. You know Banasura? The guy with 1,000 arms. That was the Ushanani Ruta story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna was fighting with Banasura, and Lord Shiva was taking Banasura's side, and then anyway, so Lord Shiva was defeated, ultimately. So he said, I sometimes oppose the Supreme Lord. And he even said that when Indra was opposing the Lord, because the Lord took the Parijata flowers for Satyabhama, Parijata tree for Satyabhama, then Lord Shiva took Indra's side in fighting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he said, I'm not such a great devotee. I mean, you should really understand who is a good devotee. And then, of course, then Lord Shiva's wife came, and then Lord Shiva, because, you know, you have to please your wife, was saying that, you know, Lakshmi, she's really a good devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She's always at the Lord's feet. She actually resides on the Lord's chest. You know, very intimate relationship. And so Narada Muni became very enthusiastic at that particular time to see Lakshmi. He was going to go to see Lakshmi. But then Lord Shiva pulled him aside and said, look, I just said that to please my wife, because she would have gotten aggravated, because the devotee who I think is really the most wonderful in terms of getting the mercy from the Supreme Lord is Prahlad Maharaj. because Prahlad Maharaj was saved by the Lord. And basically, when the Lord appeared as Lord Nrsingadev, none of us could approach him except for Prahlad Maharaj. You know, even Lakshmi was there. And nobody was able to pacify him except for Prahlad Maharaj. So we all know that story from the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So then, what happened at that point is, of course, Narada Muni, actually Lord Shiva said, don't tell my wife I told you this, which is interesting. So even Lord Shiva is nervous about it, getting his wife aggravated. Because if Durga gets aggravated, it's kind of a difficult scene. So anyway, Narada Muni then went to see Prahlad Maharaj. He was glorifying Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj said, look, I just got to see the Lord one time. Just one time I got to see the Lord, and that was it. And he said, there was another time, but then I fought with the Lord. And the Lord, Krishna, took this form one time of a Brahmin, and Prahlad Maharaj sort of like challenged, or Kshatriya actually, and Prahlad Maharaj challenged him, and they had a fight. And basically, at the end of the fight, the Lord said, Krishna said, I am always defeated by you, Prahlad Maharaj, because of your devotion. So Prahlad Maharaj was citing that particular incident, and he said, actually, I fought with the Lord. I only saw the Lord once. Plus, look at my family members. You know, they're really challenged individuals. You know, I had Bali Maharaj, who took over the whole heavenly planets. Then the Lord had to make this trick to send him to Sutala Loka, you know, the lower planet. And you may say the Lord has become his doorkeeper, but I say the Lord has actually become his prison warden. He's making sure that Bali doesn't escape and harass anyone anymore. So in this way, Prahlad Maharaj said, yeah, and then all I don't do any practical service. All I do is remember Krishna. Of course, he was serving Krishna. I mean, that was his humility. But he's primarily known as the acharya for the process of smaranam. Like we have the eightfold processes of devotional service. What? Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam. Prahlad Maharaj is the acharya of smaranam, which means remembering. But he did everything else, too. It's not that he didn't serve the Lord or speak about the Lord. Certainly he preached to his schoolmates. And certainly heard from his guru, Narada Muni, while Narada Muni was in the, while Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb. And it's interesting, in this case where Narada Muni was praising Prahlad Maharaj, you have the guru who's actually praising the disciple, which is highly unusual. So Prahlad Maharaj said, look, I didn't do anything. You know, I just opposed the Lord. My family's pretty useless. You know, Banasura and Bali, you know, this is a really challenged family. So then he said, if you really want to see someone who's serving the Lord, because it's getting more and more intimate as you're going along, if you really want to see someone who's serving the Lord, then you should go to see Hanuman. And so, basically, Narada Muni went to see Hanuman, and then they were dancing and chanting, and Hanuman even brought Narada Muni to see the deities of Sita and Rama. They both offered obeisances to the deities. Very nice story. So they both offered obeisances to the deities of Sita and Rama, and Narada Muni said, you're the best devotee. You have the most mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Hanuman said, no. How can this be so? The Lord took everyone else with him except for me. He left me in this material world. He even took Sugriva and his brothers and everybody back to the spiritual world, because at the end of Lord Ram's pastimes, Lord Ram said that anyone who wants to go back with him can enter into the Sarayu River, and then they all assumed their original transcendental forms. Of course, Lord Ram already had his original transcendental form, but because the Lord doesn't change his body when he comes to the earth. And then they ascended to the spiritual world. But Lord Ram said to Hanuman, you're not going to go. You stay in this world. As long as my glories are chanted, then you stay, and then you can go back after a few billion years. Can you imagine that? Like Krishna or Prabhupada saying, let's say Prabhupada was saying to you, you say, Prabhupada, I just want to serve you personally. And Prabhupada said, you know, in a few billion years, you know, you just glorify me, stay serving the Hare Krishna movement for, you know, a few billion years. Well, 5,000 at least. And then we'll talk about it. So Lord Ram said that to Hanuman. Of course, that actually proves that Hanuman is a great devotee of the Lord, because one who serves the mission of the Lord in preference to trying to enjoy the Lord is actually in a higher position. Like Prabhupada said, don't try to see Krishna, have Krishna try to see you. In other words, Krishna is the enjoyer. We're the servants. So if Krishna wants us to stay in the material world, I mean, of course, in the beginning of the movement, Prabhupada did say you should want to go back to Godhead, but that's not the highest position. Prabhupada was indicating that for us, in that immature stage, wanting to get out of the material world would be a good impetus for performing Krishna consciousness. But for one who is a pure devotee of the Lord, you know, manna janmani janmani shrulei, bhavatad bhakti hoiti ki jwaye, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, that I will take birth after birth in the material world as long as I'm serving you, as long as I'm your pure devotee. So Hanuman is on a very exalted platform. So anyway, so he was denying his position. And then he started to glorify the Pandavas who were mentioned here. And he said, actually, if you really want to see good devotees, you have to go to see the Pandavas. And they're worshiping Lord Krishna. And Krishna becomes, as mentioned here in the verse in the purport, Krishna becomes their messenger, the chariot driver. And he said, I'm really fortunate because my brother is Bhimsen, because they're both Vayuputras. Vayuputra means sons of the wind god. So my brother is Bhimsen, so I'm related to the Pandavas. That's pretty nice, you know, half-brother, Bhimsen. So I'm related to the Pandavas. You really want to go see them. And then he said to Narada Muni, we should both go to see the Pandavas. But then he thought for a second, and he said, well, actually, I only go to see the Pandavas with Krishna when Krishna actually manifests the form of Lord Ram along with Sita. It's interesting, because he is so loyal. This also is another point, too, that how he is so loyal to the personality of Godhead that he is worshiping, that even he won't go to see another manifestation of the Lord unless he gets permission from that personality whom he is worshiping, even though they're all the same person. And there's this story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that one time Krishna did send a message to Hanuman to come to see him. He sent a message to Garuda, through Garuda, sorry. And Garuda came to Hanuman and said, Lord Krishna wants to see you in Dwarka. And Hanuman said, I'm not going without Lord Ram's permission. And Garuda said, well, you're coming whether you like it or not. I'm going to put you on my back and carry you. And Hanuman just took his tail and swished it a little bit. And Garuda went flying, because Garuda has a tendency sometimes of getting a little proud. Garuda went flying, I guess, head over tail or wing over wing, back to the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna asked, what happened? And Garuda said, this happened. And Krishna said, you shouldn't have been so proud in front of Hanuman. Hanuman is actually quite a humble personality. So this time he said, go back to Hanuman and tell him that Ram and Sita want to see him. And so Garuda flew back and he told Hanuman that Ram and Sita wanted to see him in Dwarka. So Hanuman flew on his own power without utilizing Garuda to Dwarka. And Krishna at that time took the form, or I can't say exactly, took the form, he manifested Lord Ram's form. You don't want to say took form because he doesn't change his body. He manifested Lord Ram's form, and Rukmini manifested Sita's form. And so Hanuman was very happy. So Hanuman always remains in Kim Purusha Loka. He doesn't go anywhere else unless he gets permission. I mean, imagine this loyalty, this greatness of this devotee. Mm. And he's a servant of the Lord. So then Narada Muni flew to see the Pandavas, Pancha Pandavas, the five Pandavas, and he started to glorify them. They were engaged in a whole discussion at that particular time because they were upset. They hadn't seen Krishna for some time. Mm. And the reason they hadn't seen Krishna for some time is that Krishna, generally, he came when there was trouble, or he came when there was some big sacrifice or something like that. But Narada Muni still started glorifying them, and he said, "You're the best devotees." And they said, "You know, we're the most unfortunate devotees of the Lord. Actually, we set a very bad example for other devotees." Now, what is that bad example? The example is that you become a devotee and you're subjected to all these difficulties. You know, can you imagine? Someone becomes a devotee of the Lord. Before that, they had like a very blessed, you know, opulent life. And then they join the movement and they have to live in a sleeping bed. You know, just like many of us join the movement. People complain about the austerities nowadays. But when I first joined the movement, we had like 30 devotees in one room, sharing one bathroom. And, you know, sleeping in a sleeping bag, and one box of books was our entire, the extent of our possessions. You remember that, right? One box, you know, book box, or actually we'd go to the grocery store to get our box. You know, because you have free boxes, they would give you free cardboard boxes at the grocery store. And that was it. And if you had any more, some sannyasi would come and ask for it from you. I remember I was the first one to get a tape recorder. And, you know, one of the cassette tape recorders in the movement, listening to Prabhupada. And Sasrupa Maharaj looked at it. He was one of the first sannyasis. He looked at it and said, "Oh, it's such a nice tape recording." And I said, "All right, here it is, it's yours." And he said, "Wow, you're very generous." I said, "No, nothing is mine." And so that I was a real brahmachari. So, anyway, so if you see someone join the movement and then they become destitute, it was like my car was smashed when I joined the movement. You know, I had this nice MG midget sports car. You know, everything lost. My parents really got upset, rejected me, and everything like that. So you think, you know, who wants to join this movement? So the Pandavas were saying the same thing, that, you know, look, we're devotees of the Lord, and our whole life has been one disaster after another since the time we were born. You know, our father died. You know, Pandu died very shortly after the birth of all the children. And then we were sent to Hastinapur, where they tried to kill us practically every week. You know, poison us. And even when we got older, they put us in a house of lack where they attempted to burn us to death. So how is it that we're such great devotees of the Lord? And people see this. No one is going to want to be a devotee by seeing what we're doing, our pastimes, isn't it? You see, I don't want to be like the Pandavas. You know, if I said to any of you, "Do you want to be like the Pandavas and be suffering their whole life and have murder attempts every week on you and then be exiled for 14 years to the forest?" I mean, at that time, you go to the forest, it's not like going to the state park or the... You know, you think, "I'll go to the forest." And, you know, you take your wireless internet with you and your mobile phone. And, you have a heated tent or something like that. Or isn't it? I mean, people go camping and it's not roughing it anymore. And so going to the forest meant, you know, it was cold outside sometimes like this. And you had to just live and shiver and live in other people's homes. And so, or the time they had to be incognito and live in a Brahmin's home. So nobody's going to want to do that, you know. So basically we don't preach like that to people in general. They join the movement, Krishna takes everything away. And even your family rejects you, so all you can do is chant Hare Krishna. I mean, that particular verse is applicable when one's advanced, one thinks about that. Yashyaham anugrinami hurishye tadaram shanai. But when one is preaching to the non-devotees, you don't say, "Krishna will take everything away. So anyway, so the Pandavas objected to that. They said Krishna only comes when there's a disaster. And, you know, so we're not such great devotees of the Lord. Although they had a greater intimacy than Prahlad Maharaj or Hanuman. I mean, Hanuman never was on the same bed with Lord Ramchandra, joking with him and punching him like a friend. You know, like friends, sometimes they punch each other like that and slap each other. Hey, how you doing, buddy? So Arjuna was, of course, quite intimate in that way with Krishna. So they were more intimate. But they said, no, actually, if you really want to see good devotees, then you should go to Dwarka and see Uddhava. And so basically Krishna went to Dwarka and saw Uddhava. And of course Uddhava, he glorified the gopis in Vrindavan. And actually was understood that the gopis, particularly Srimati Radharani, is the topmost devotee of the Lord. And the reason for that particular logic is that Radharani is the most intimate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the opulence of these the greatest devotees of the Lord, like the gopis, is that they love Krishna so much that Krishna can't even think of a way to repay them. He said, your own love is going to have to be the payment for your own devotional service, because I have no ability to repay you for your devotion. So they're the most exalted, elevated devotees of the Lord. So here in this particular verse in purport, they're talking about the Kurus and the Pandavas. The Pandavas are considered closer to Krishna, more elevated than Krishna. Although it says the Yadu dynasty was more glorious due to the appearance of Lord Krishna. But as far as the intimacy, the Pandavas had more intimacy with the Supreme Lord. And more than that, as the residents, as Uddhava, sorry. And more than that, because Uddhava was like Krishna's friend too. He'd always be advising Krishna, telling Krishna what to do. And more than that is the gopis in Vrindavan. And the other residents of Vrindavan too. I mean, the coward boys, their relationship or their intimacy with Krishna was greater than that of the Pandavas. So any questions or comments? You have about 2 minutes left to class. This is a story from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita about who is the most intimate, who is the greatest devotee of the Lord. Because those who are most intimate with the Lord are considered more elevated. Just like we see that, you know, there's this discussion, which is the original form, most important form of the Lord? The most important original form of the Lord is that form which exhibits the most intimacy with his devotees. Like, what is the greatest understanding of a particular individual? Where does he exhibit the greatest manifestation of a person in this world? Does he exhibit it at work or does he exhibit it at home? At home, obviously. And so Krishna at home is Vrajendra Nandana. Krishna at work is either Dwarkadish. That's a little work there because he goes to the assembly house. Or Krishna at real work is Narayan or Vishnu. So we see that by these comparative degrees of revelation of intimacy, which is the most important or the original form of the Supreme Personality of God. In the same way, with devotees, we see comparative intimacy indicates which devotees are the best devotees or better devotees of the Lord. The more intimate, the more elevated. Does everybody understand that? Of course, don't imitate. Don't think, I want to become elevated, let me go up to the deities and kiss the deities. That's not going to really be appropriate. So, but as far as the comparison between different devotees of the Lord. Does that make sense? Okay, on a happy note. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Radha Goloka Nanda ki jai. Go, Premananda, Hari Hari Go.